Well, yesterday we talked about generational issues being an obstacle. The day before that, we talked about doctrinal issues or wrong beliefs. Mm-hmm. And we began the series with the big picture idea. Well, really, the hindrance, the resistance is the world, the flesh, the devil. The flesh has to do with us, of course. Mm-hmm. Or someone else's flesh can get in the way of, you know, try to keep you from doing God's will. But we're just looking at some different areas, generational issues yesterday. Today we're going to be talking about doubt and unbelief. Mm. And those are big ones.
Very huge.
Most everyone at some time or another, sometimes more times than we like to admit, doubt and unbelief can creep in and keep us from doing God's will. And there's, you know, we've talked about this. That we our question this series is built around is how can I know God's will? But once you know God's will, then what hinders you from doing God's will? Because knowing the will of God and doing the will of God together is what really brings a blessing and what equals obedience. To know and not to do. For him who knows to do good and doesn't do it, the Bible says that's sin. That's what James tells us. So, it's important not only to know God's will, but to do God's will. And we're talking about what sometimes hinders us from doing God's will. And doubt and unbelief certainly enters in there.
So, you want to break those down, talk about them separately, or...
Well, let's talk about Jesus himself when he went into Nazareth in Mark chapter 6. This is such an interesting passage because he goes to his hometown where folks knew him. And astonishingly, the scripture says he could do no mighty works there because of their unbelief, except to heal a few sick folks. The verse is astonishing because of the windows it gives us into the how things ought to be versus how things are. Because when it says except to heal a few sick folks, that's a good day in the kingdom, you know, for most of you see some sick folks heal. That's awesome. But see, Jesus was living on a level, and the will of God is, you know, you see that happening in his ministry. And where he goes into villages and everyone's healed and all kinds of things are happening. But astonishingly, we are told that there in his hometown of Nazareth, he could do no mighty works. It was God's will for him. And we're not saying he was disobedient. He was doing the will of God. But the resistance came through the doubt and unbelief of the people on the other side of his ministry. They couldn't receive, they couldn't engage it because of their unbelief. So sometimes you may be hindered from doing the will of God because of your doubt and unbelief. And there may be times when God's will couldn't be fully carried out because of the doubt and unbelief of other people. And we see that in Nazareth. And the scripture there tells us even what gave room for their doubt and unbelief to spring up. It's like they were looking at him like, wait a minute. We know you. You're Joseph's son. You grew up in the carpenter's shop. You're one of us. You're just ordinary. You're Jesus of Nazareth. And that limited their ability to receive from him, you know. And that can happen to us too, you know. Like, surely if God's going to be doing something, he wouldn't use you or he wouldn't use me, or, you know. Doubt and unbelief. Believing is so very, very important in the Christian life. The just shall live by faith. So unbelieving becomes a huge hindrance in the development of our Christian faith.
Yes, faith is required to see a lot of exciting things happen in the kingdom. We have whole books of the Bible written about faith, like Hebrews 11.
Yeah, you've been nosediving in Hebrews 11.
Looking at that and just how faith and action and faith in the invisible realm and how that's
important. Powerful things happen.
But we could even talk about how we could see this even in a church service, if there's not, I mean, sometimes God just breaks through and does the things that God does, whether they're just to show himself strong mm-hmm. and bless the people.
Right.
But you often can tell a difference in the hunger of the people and the belief level of the people, how mm-hmm. much they can believe. You can feel that in the atmosphere.
Expectancy.
Right.
Is important. I remember years ago, Brother Henry, I came expecting, and I can still hear that. But there's a lot of truth in that, to come expecting mm-hmm. the Lord to move and work. And it does affect the atmosphere because mm-hmm. Mark 6, that's exactly what it's telling us, mm-hmm. that there was an atmosphere there that hindered God's will from breaking out to the extent that it could have. And so, Jesus was the one doing the ministry.
So for them, it was just prejudice that Jesus was the carpenter's son, somebody that they had always known, grown up around. And so they couldn't see him walking in this place. And there can be other kinds of unbelief about, people sometimes... someone's just been saved, or just so many things that could cause people to go, I don't know if that could really happen through them. But God has gifts and callings on our lives that are just that, just because he has
that's exactly
pointed
right.
it out and said, this person will have this gift or this calling. And sometimes character is still developing and, knowledge is still developing, but there's a gift there.
Sometimes he'll put one of those Jehovah sneakies on you. Like, bless God, I believe God. I believe, I believe, I believe. So he'll send someone to you, and though you say you believe God, you don't believe God could do what he wants to do through that person. So, but you see that it's not many wise, not many noble are called. He chooses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And, whether it's a fig plucker named Amos or a little guy named David on the backside of his daddy's farm, God will choose to confound people at times, and he has no problem in steamrolling our unbelief and our dignity and our prejudices in order to open our eyes to the fact that he is God, mm-hmm. and he'll work in the way that he chooses and choose to use whom he chooses to use. And it's just really important because in Nazareth, another word that I would bring into this discussion of what was going on at Nazareth is the word familiarity. Mm. Sometimes we can just get so familiar. Jesus also taught that a prophet's not without honor, except around his own folks, folks that know him well. Because things can become so familiar. They can become routine, check your clock, it's about time to wind this up. And in the middle of that, lose the faith and the expectancy that, listen, God might want to do something spectacular in someone's life here. Let's keep believing. Let's keep expecting. Let's stand on the promises. There's probably not a Sunday, and I'm not relegating to God's movements to a church service. That's just... it's just easy to bring in with what we're talking about. But there's doubtless there's a Sunday that goes by that somebody's not there that needs a major breakthrough in their life. Mm-hmm. And we've seen this over and over where in a service there can be one person. You can say you have a number of people that have the same needs, but you can have one person that because of their faith and their expectancy, they just see God do something awesome for them, and it may fly by the other person's notice or over their head.
It can light expectancy in somebody else.
Yes.
So both things could happen.
So doubt and unbelief, here I am. If God's going to do something, it's going to have to be really, really spectacular for me to believe it was God, because we can be so... We've heard so many horror stories or abuse stories of things in ministry or faced so many disappointments. that your faith level's just way down here, but we're talking about the God of this universe. He's the one that brought the church into being. He's the one that tells believers that we're to lay hands on the sick. He's the one that gives us all these promises and teaches us about the benefits that we can enter into. So it requires our faith. We have to trust and believe. And I would just say to some of you who may have been disillusioned or disappointed or discouraged by circumstances, or maybe even been wounded in the church or mistreated by believers, first of all, forgive us of any way we may have contributed to that. But also realize that don't allow those things to eclipse who God is and what He can do. That's the nature of doubt and belief. It's insidious. It'll grow. And it'll create distance between you and God.
Yes.
And James talks about the power of doubt.
Yes. Let not that man expect that he would receive anything from the Lord. The one who doubts. It's like being tossed to and fro and double-minded in all his ways. So it's pretty harsh words from James about if you want to see God do things, we have to deal with doubt.
Yeah, and that James 1 passage that Mickey's mentioning, you know, you pick up at verse 6, 7, and 8 through that section, and he's talking about prayer, about asking in faith. But let him ask in faith, not doubting, because he who doubts is like a man driven, tossed to and fro on the waves of the sea. And what you just said, that's so powerful. Let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord, which if you turn that around and look at what's being said, it means this: if you're going to receive from something from the Lord, then there's got to be some faith present. Other people can be receiving left of you, right of you, in front of you, and behind you, but if you're sitting there with doubt and unbelief, you're going to miss it.
That's right.
So, and again, that doesn't mean leave your brain at the door. It doesn't mean that that everything that flies by, it's got God's name on it, is of God. It's not saying don't have discernment. But what a lot of people will attribute to discernment on a closer investigation can just be doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Because the scripture has too many examples of things that defy human logic that God does for us to think, well, that doesn't make sense to me, so it can't be God. And, you know, faith is required.
Faith is
never
required.
Had rain before when God told Noah to build an ark, to build this big boat on dry ground.
So if we relate this back to our topic, hindrances to the will of God, God's will be for people to be healed, but a lack of faith could cause that, or doubt and unbelief could cause that not happen.
Well, and just every area of life, whatever God's will is for you, and we will say this, whatever God's will is for you, particularly your destiny, direction, where He's leading you and what He's calling you to do, there will be resistance. That's something been on my mind sometimes. Be a good book to write just about resistance and the kingdom, because resistance, there's a purpose for the resistance. There's a reason for the resistance, and there's going to be resistance, but we have to learn how to overcome the resistance. The resistance itself can even build strength into us. So there's going to be a warfare around you doing God's will. Many times that will be the case. And so there's going to be obstacles in the way, hindrances to overcome. But to do the will of God, he who does the will of God abides forever. We saw that scripture. And it's so very, very important. If we ask anything according to His will, we know He hears us. We know He hears His will. No, we'll have the petition that we've desired of Him. 1 John 5:13-14 tells us. And so the will of God is a big deal, and there's going to be some hindrances, and doubt and unbelief are some major hindrances.
So what if a person finds themselves really struggling with doubt and unbelief, what would you say to them?
Build up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, prayer, reading the Word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Sometimes fasting in for the right reasons. You know, this kind comes out by prayer and fasting. Jesus told the disciple, you have little faith. You know, this kind comes out by prayer and fasting. So you put that together. One way you can build your faith is through prayer and fasting. So that's the Word, prayer, denying yourself, and again, doing the will of God. When you do the will of God, that is an expression of your faith. And like building a muscle, when you take one step, enough steps, you begin to build a muscle, and it's easier to take the next step. And we grow in our faith, and we build our faith. But doubt and unbelief, you press through it. You overcome it. You have, and that's where getting your mind and your heart in alignment with God's will. You see, Jesus in Gethsemane, you know, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. You know, he's working through that. But at the end of the day, the decision, I'm going to do God's will. And I will the will of God. I'm aligning my heart. I'm going to do God's will. And there will be grace to do God's will. You know, you have to decide. But when you take that step, grace will meet you there to enable you to carry through with what God's given you to do. Your faith rests on His faithfulness. So you take your step of faith, He will meet you there.
Well, we pray that your faith has been encouraged today, and that you will press in to believe God for more and to let Him deal with doubt and unbelief. And so what is it that you are believing God for? If you don't have something on your list, ask the Lord, what would you like for me to believe you for? And let Him put something into your heart and build your faith and trust God and see great things happen. Pray you have a wonderful day. We'll be back here tomorrow morning at 10:30 a.m.
And before we go, a word of just an exciting news about faith is tomorrow on our property that we purchased, we're going to be building a new facility. They're supposed to be moving the heavy equipment in and begin moving some dirt.
Yay!
So it's going to be good to see our faith become solid in
Amen.
That way.
Amen.
Yeah. We love you all. God bless you.